I've been in John with my devotions, and I told the young adult class this was originally supposed to be a young adult Sunday school lesson in it, and the Lord told me I needed to reverse order and use this for the graduation. Why don't we pray and we'll begin. Father, we do thank you so much for this time to recognize our graduates, both Josiah and Caleb. We thank you for their hard work, and I pray, Lord, Father, for everyone here, that we'd all be students of your word and continue that in a lifelong journey of learning. And if anyone in here doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that they would turn to you to repent and to be saved, Lord, Father, and before it's too late. And for those that are saved here, help us to be reminded constantly of what you've done for us and what you do through us. I just pray, Lord Father, that you speak to us through the preaching tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John chapter 7. And two words we're going to look at tonight. I shouldn't be very long, and this is by no means an exhaustive study on these words, but we're going to look at doctrine and division. Doctrine and division. John chapter 7, let's start reading in verse 14. A little background, this is the Feast of the Tabernacles, if I got my history right here and where we are. Verse 14, it says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'He knoweth, or how knoweth this man letters, having never learned?' Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.'" Verse 18, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Skip down to verse 40. For sake of time, I'll read just a couple in here as well. Verse 40 says this: "All the while he preached, he gave his lessons, a lot of dialogue occurred about what he said." And in verse 40, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee?'" Verse 42, "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Verse 43, "So there was a division among the people because of him." Again, doctrine and division, two very important words in our faith. In the general sense, doctrine, what can be said of it? What define that word? Webster's 1828 says this: "It's whatever is taught. Hence a principle or a position in any science, whatever is laid down as true by an instructor or master. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles or truths taught by Christ and his apostles. The doctrines of Plato are the principles which he taught. Hence," here's the caution it says, "a doctrine may be true or false. It may be a mere tenet, like a dogma, or an opinion." What can be said of division? Division is the act of dividing or separating into parts any entire body. It's the state of being divided. That which divides or separates. Disunion or discord, right? Now, let me throw this out there. Again, this is not an exhaustive study. Sometimes division is good. Sometimes it is good. Right doctrine is always good. So just, I want you to think about, I'm trying to prick your hearts and think on some things. So let's look at some scripture, and let's see if we can glean, as I like to say, some things from scripture, from the word. Again, back at John 7, verse 14. In that section we read, verse 14 through 18, notice whose doctrine Jesus says he teaches. He says, not his own, but God the Father's. He says, "I seek not my glory, but God's. Again, we're looking at doctrines of our faith. You can glean from this. You can apply this to your life. When I speak of doctrines of our faith, I'm looking very general terms right now. I'm not concentrating on any one particular area. Other than I want you to think about, it's very important to build or draw out the doctrines you hold to from correct sources. It's very important in your walk with the Lord. There's a correct way to build doctrine biblically. Our pastor is very good at teaching this. Jesus is our example, is he not? As Christians, we are to be Christ-like. Who does Jesus Christ, the Son of God, say he teaches from? And who is he about? He's talking about God the Father. He is not even seeking his own glory, and he's the Son of God. Jesus sought not even his own glory. He sought the glory of the Father. Whose doctrine did he preach? Not his own, the Father's. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're all at very diverse stages of our lives. Two particular ones we emphasize tonight, Caleb and Josiah. Caleb just finished high school. Josiah finished Bible college. Each different levels of journey. All of us, same thing. Some are single, some are in courtship, some are married. Some have lost loved ones. We're all over, right? But what we have in common is Jesus Christ, and the doctrine you share with others is very important. Caleb mentioned this in his speech. People are watching you. The decisions you make, they will make decisions based on the decisions you make. Whose doctrine you share with others could have great impact on their lives. Life-altering impact. The things you teach, whether it's children or other adults, those people listening to you for advice, they will make life-altering decisions based on what you share with them. What am I emphasizing? I'm saying you better be right, whatever you share. You better be right. Or think about it this way. If you teach on things or you're sharing with things and you're not doing it with much conviction, because you're not sure of yourself, the reasons behind you are teaching what you're teaching, it will be evident to your audience. They will see it. They will feel it. They will know it. Like, he's telling me to do this or she's telling me to do this, but they don't even do that. What are they saying? When you follow and teach a doctrine, it's very important to understand why you believe what you teach or why you hold to that doctrine. Else, what is the point of following it? Really? You know, if you don't know why you're doing it, what's the point then? I'm not saying we all need to be Brother Chamberlain or Brother Seitz, intellect level, but or a great theologian or a pastor. But I am saying that God expects us to learn from his word. He expects us to at least maybe bring someone to who might know the answer that you're trying to help someone get. You can at least do that. I know you can do that. You can at least point them to the Bible if you don't know yourself. You can bring them to pastor, a good friend, maybe someone you know that's very studious in the Bible. Don't just leave them hanging. They came to you for advice. They trust you. Else, why are they coming to you? Where can we find the doctrine that God wants us to know? Right here in his book. We need to be in the scriptures. As pastor has taught since day one of him getting here, you build your doctrine, you draw it out of the Bible, you let the Bible build your doctrine. You don't do this. You don't build your doctrine first, then try to find it in the Bible. You're opening a door for error. What did Jesus Christ do? He said, I preach the Father's word. And he built his doctrine off of what the Father said. And when you build your own doctrine first and then try to match it to the Bible, you are in essence preaching your glory, opposite what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, seek the Father's glory. Preachers of your own home, husbands, fathers, seek not your own glory, but God's. I'm pointing at myself, too. When teaching in your household, let Scripture teach you and guide you. Don't let pride keep you from changing if God's trying to show you something in His Word that He wants you to change. It could be something that you've held on to for many years, thought you were right, preached it even, and then all of a sudden Scripture is rubbing you wrong and you're not sure why. Maybe go seek counsel. I appreciate a pastor that's willing to say, I used to think this way. Scripture now shows me this is the right way. He's done that several times since he's been here. I appreciate that. He's letting the Word of God grow him, as we should too. Let this book guide you. I think I got just a few more minutes. I want you to turn back to verse 40 again. And I'm almost done here. John chapter 7, verse 40. And I'm going to read verses 40 through 53. I want you to hear this whole thing out. Think about division and what's happening here, okay? Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man, and never will. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Verse 52, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And verse 53, and every man went unto his own house. There was a division here. Why? Remember, sometimes division is good. But in this case, what was going on here? They were arguing, this can't be Jesus Christ, because they physically see that he's coming from Galilee. They are totally ignoring Scripture. They've already learned. Prophet said in Micah, Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. They're trying to use Scripture to argue that this is not the Christ because he's from Galilee. I was born in Petoskey, Michigan. It'll never change. I will always have been born in Petoskey, Michigan. Now that I live in Anchorage, Alaska, Palmer, wherever I'm at, it doesn't change the fact that I'm still from Petoskey, Michigan. Do you know why they were arguing over that? Because they didn't want to acknowledge that it's Jesus Christ. They wanted to hang on to anything but the truth. As Pastor mentioned this morning, they didn't want the truth. In your life, doctrine and divisions, let this book correct you, change you, show you, build your doctrine. Let this book build your doctrine. Don't build your doctrine and try to take this to meet it. It opens that door for error. It opens that door for error. Real example. I remember not long after I got here, I think, a missionary came. And he shared a story about being on deputation. And I've talked, and this is not, I'm not talking about John, but I've talked with Brother Penix many times about deputation. That sounds like a terrible thing. I don't want to ever go on deputation. But anyway, this guy was talking about his experience on deputation. He said he went to a church, and the preacher invited us to his home. Pretty common thing. Invites him to his home. The preacher's like, oh, I want you to introduce my family. So he introduces himself to his family, and he's like, oh, this is my wife, and this is my children. Oh, and that lady over there, that's my concubine. True story. He's a Baptist preacher. In his mind, a concubine was okay. Obviously, he was building his own doctrine. Scripture is very clear on that. King David had concubines. That must be okay, right? Whoa, 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 whoa. Read the context. What did God say about all those concubines? What does Genesis say about marriage? Those words are singular. Man, woman, singular. What I'm saying is these two words are very important in your life. Doctrine and division. Wrong doctrine causes division. Right doctrine can cause division too, but the motivation is right and it's pure. And God will honor that by following the right doctrine. I promised my wife I'd be short tonight. Yeah. I'll close with this. And my father-in-law and many other men could probably share a whole lot more about this. But just think about these things of doctrine and division. And pastor could probably preach on it too. Very important things. I'll end with this. A couple questions. Why are you at IBCA? Why do you come here? Why are you a Baptist? Pastor Roach said, I'm a Baptist because I learned that they hold to the Bible. That's why I became a Baptist. What is your reasons for being here? Why do you use the King James Version? Or why do you dress the way you dress? Truly, don't just give a flippant answer. Don't give a willy-nilly, just whatever, because so-and-so. Truly, why? Seek to answer those questions. You'll be more effective in your witness if you do. You'll be more prepared to answer that someone that asks you at the coffee stand or wherever you're at. It'll help you be effective, as Pastor mentions, when we're out in our day-to-day. Again, Josiah and Caleb, great milestones, high school diploma, Bible college graduation. Just remember that piece of paper that you're going to get, it doesn't mean the learning's over. You still let this book grow you and teach you, as it should all of us. Why don't we bow our heads in prayer? We're just going to do a quick prayer here. If you have